Welcome, TWIM Nation. This is your conference roundup. And we are, my name is Tiffany Hales. I'm one half of the TWIM sisters, and I also host the Taffy Edition on TWIM. And I am here today with Sarah Jorgensen. Sarah, say hi to everyone.
Hello, my friends.
I've had Sarah on here a couple of times. We've recorded together and just had a blast. And we are here today to welcome everybody to April Conference 2024. And we are going to start out with the Saturday morning session will be our recap. Sarah,
yes, it's been a great morning, hasn't it?
It has. You know, I'm kind of excited because I am doing the recap for the Saturday morning, and then Ariane and I are going to do the recap for the Sunday afternoon. So I'm kind of bookending conference here. I've never recapped the Saturday morning session. It seems like they always like to get off with a strong start and a good bang on Saturday morning, and then, you know, kind of bring it home on Sunday afternoon. So very excited about my conference wrap-up assignments.
Those are both like fun. I don't know. It's fun to start and fun to end. That's a fun way to, you know, do the recapping for you. That's great.
Exactly. Okay. Initial thoughts right out of the gate. It was a little bit different this morning.
Yes. I loved the choir. They sounded beautiful. In white was cool. I'm not sure I've seen them. I mean, I don't keep track of things like that, but
yeah.
They looked gorgeous in white. It was like so stark and pretty. I love that they just started out with a bang with Elder Holland, or President Holland, I guess, speaking right off the bat. Everyone wondered, well, you know, what are we going to hear from him? Is he going to speak? Is it going to be a video? And I just love that he came in straight up. I'm doing this.
Before we get to him, one of the things that really surprised me was when President Oakes said that President Nelson is watching conference from home, because we had not heard that. He watched conference from home last October because he'd had a fall and he was recuperating. And I'm trying to remember if we knew that before conference, that he wouldn't physically be there. I think we did. But I didn't hear any indication this time around that he wasn't going to be present.
He put up an Instagram post, and I'm going to pull it up. He said, some of us won't be.
Oh.
He said, I'm trying to think of the exact words he said. My body is old. Time marches on. My body's reminding me that it's old. As seniors leaders in the church, we're called to serve forever.
Uh-huh.
And then it said, many of us, regardless. Oh, wait, hold on. He said, some of us will be sitting to give our messages. We will require assistance getting to and from our seats. And some of us will not, or will have pre-recorded messages.
Oh.
And so I kind of was like, I wonder if that's like a little tip to what's coming.
I had a busy week and I had not seen that Instagram post. So very, very good. Thank you.
So.
Yeah. And then, of course, they did the sustaining of the church leaders in the morning session as opposed to the afternoon session, which is typically where it's done, I'm sure, because we had a new apostle to sustain Elder Kieran. So,
yes, I wondered about that, too. I thought, oh, this is weird. And then I remembered that we were doing something important. So,
yes,
it wasn't quite, you know, there was a reason for the change.
All right. Now we can get to Elder Holland's talk. I have to tell you, I was so excited that he was first speaker out of the gate, because like he indicated, we had not heard from him in a while because he'd had a number of health issues, and he's always such a dynamic speaker. So your thoughts on Elder Holland?
Well, I loved that he didn't talked about the experiences that he's been having. Like, I had a near-death experience. I was almost like my wife, you know, like I feel like sometimes we don't share the real stuff that's going on. And I liked that he was very pointed. And this is the experience I've had for the last, while. And here's the experiences that it led me to. And then I thought that I liked when he said that thanks are the finest form of thought, and that we have a divinely compassionate father. I liked that phrase, and I think I'm going to think about that for a long time. What does that mean, and how does that affect me? A divinely compassionate father is cool. So what'd you think?
Well, you know, again, he had alluded to it before that he had perhaps had a near-death experience. I think he completely admitted to it now. But it was just very interesting. I mean, I, you know, he's obviously not going to share those because the specifics, because they are so sacred. But he, you know, was very clear that he received an admonition to return to his ministry with fervor, you know, and just kind of thinking about it in terms of his personal situation where his health had not been good. He lost his wife. And as I have discussed several times on this podcast, you know, generally when a spouse loses, you know, there's a spouse, it, you know, their health can deteriorate and their will to live can diminish. And so I kind of wonder if this was very specific for him because the Lord is like, look, I need you there for a while. So I'm going to give you an experience so you understand you need to stay there for a while. And then, like I said, he just gave us some great counsel. I really liked what he said about God hears every prayer we offer. And he yep. answers every prayer we offer, even if it's not how we want it answered. And he said, you know, there are no limits to when, where, or what we can pray for. And I really liked him saying, you know, look, if you have the opportunity to be vocal in your prayers, be vocal in your prayers. If not, yeah. you know, have a prayer in your heart. But
I,
you know, he said, I'm a witness of eternal life. And he said, you know, be serious in our planning. And that Christ needs to be able to recognize us and us recognize him when we see him. So I thought it was a great talk.
I thought he did a really great job too. I wondered if it would be shorter or, you know, something else, maybe like softer, but I felt like he came out swinging and really just gave like a classic Holland deep, meaningful talk. So I really enjoyed it.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to our second speaker, J. Annette Dennis. She's having a moment this month.
I was like, whoa, because she's already spoken in conference once. Like we've already heard from her and we haven't heard from the other counselor. So I was Sister Yi. So I was just positive we would hear from her. And then they said Sister Dennis's name. And I was just surprised because it's probably hard to come back from, you know, just the backlash of the last couple weeks. But I liked her talk. I thought it was interesting to say that the covenants that we make in the temple create divine relationships, and they bring like a distinction to any relationship that makes it divine, that leads us to something holier. That's just like a new way of thinking through it that was meaningful to me, that like it brings like a new piece to my relationships that I can explore and think about and kind of find God in that new piece because I made this covenant.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was really interesting is, you know, she spent kind of the first half of her talk talking about covenants, and then she gets to the second half of her talk and she talks about garments. And I found that interesting for a couple of different reasons. We've had some discussion on this podcast about, you know, kind of the trend among younger members of the church that the garment wearing is slightly different. And there was a Salt Lake Tribune article that came out this week.
I saw it.
Was kind of a little bit controversial. There was a 70 who I believe was speaking at a state conference or some sort of a regional meeting that said, you know, hey, we are super concerned about garment wearing and that people are taking this too casually and only wearing garments on Sunday to church or to the temple. And the rest of the week, it's yoga pants. And he had indicated, you know, there may be some changes there. Now, she, of course, didn't discuss any of the changes, but she just discussed the symbolism behind the garments and why we wear the garments. And I really appreciated that because sometimes we get caught up in thinking this is just underwear versus thinking about what these garments represent symbolically. And so I thought she did a really good job of going through and kind of saying, you know, what these garments represent symbolically and why we wear them to represent those things and how that's part of our covenant.
And she said something, let me find it. She said, my willingness to wear the garment is a sign to God, not to others. And I think that was like a little admonition of like you don't get to care about other people's patterns, like how they choose to worship or see this symbol or anything. Like, I think it was like a little bit more like, stop, like, don't talk about it. You get to choose for your own self, but you don't get to choose for other people, which I really appreciate because I think we probably all need a little more or a little less thinking about what other people are doing instead of our own selves.
Exactly. Well, it will be interesting, given the Salt Lake Tribune article this week, to see if there are further talks on this subject or any changes on this subject. So
I think it's valuable, though, to hear someone talk about it. We haven't heard it in a long time.
No, we haven't.
And we all hear what we heard when we went through the temple the first time. But like,
exactly.
Then you hear something different. And then you like, I don't know, there's not like a lot of direct, clear guidance on it. Consistent, you know what I mean? Over time, like all of those things we use to measure what we're being taught. So I think it's really valuable to have like a pretty solid data point on garments today. Yeah. So.
I liked it. All right. Then we have Alexander Dushku. Let's just say a couple things about him because we've got to keep our time tight. I really liked how he talked about, this was the overall theme of his talk, is don't be looking for an overall spiritual experience because you're not getting that overwhelming beam of light. You are getting little rays, and those little rays together form the beam of light. And I love that. I thought that was great.
Yeah. And I love the idea to make a list of all the teeny rays of light you feel, because light builds on light. So you will eventually get a lot if you look at it that way. So yeah, I loved it.
Okay. Then we have Elder Suarez. There was a lot of focus, at least in the AM session, and we'll see what the others bring, about temples and covenants. And he talked about, you know, changing your preparation for the temple will change your temple experience, and then that will change how you interact with people outside of the temple.
I mean, that's like the whole point, right? Of all the things we do is to change how we're treating people. And I liked when he talked about how we can't let the second great commandment overtake the first great commandment. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to love God, and then we have to love people because of our love for God. That's just something that I think is easy to get twisted. You know what I mean? In this weird world where we're all trying to love each other, it's hard. I loved that he talked about how the oldest class in primary should be a temple prep class. I was like, what? That's amazing. I just actually got called as primary president in my ward. Just 2 weeks ago. And I love that. I was like, oh, that's a new way to think about something that we haven't, you know, thought about that way before. I like it.
I liked it too. Okay. Then we have Jack Gerard. What were your thoughts on Jack Gerard?
I think integrity is critically important. I think that I want to reread it because I felt like it just was a little pokey at some weird things. Like, it felt like he was poking at people who make comments. And I was a little bit how else are we supposed to make comments? But then he said anonymous comments. So that makes me sense to me, like argumentative. I understand that. He talked about people who make comments about church culture, which I don't know if that really is something. I don't know. I felt a little bit like,
I did too.
I want to read it again and find like what he really said and not what I heard, you know what I mean? The first go around. Integrity is important. I get that. I want that.
I completely agree. And again, I think making comments about doctrine is vastly different than making comments about culture.
Right. And that's why I was like, it's a weird thing to pick, culture. Yeah. Like, that's what I felt like. So I wonder if I misunderstood what he said or if that was the real purpose of his talk. I don't know.
That may be a reread. Or, you know, it could be one of those things that when we get the talk, the culture is edited out, because occasionally they have things that are edited out. Because, like I said, I get not criticizing, you know, leaders and doctrine, but culture?
Obviously.
I might make fun of that until the cows come home.
And there are pieces of our culture that need to be like pointed out so that we can like abandon the weird, unnecessary, un-Christ-like pieces that like we've just, you know, collected along the way. That's important work. That's not nothing. So I don't know. I want to listen to it again to make sure that I'm really understanding what he said and not like holding space, you know what I mean? Of like madness over something that's not really what he was talking about. So like, I don't know.
All right. And then our concluding speaker, Henry B. Eyring, he gave a great story talking about when the Teton Dam broke. And I loved his thing about, you know, when his wife was so concerned and he said, you know, whatever the outcome will be fine because of the temple. And that, you know, the temple reminds us of our eternal relationships. And I just, again, another great temple message, definitely a theme going on in the AM session.
For sure.
We will see if that continues on in other sessions. Yeah. So,
yeah, I also thought it was interesting that it was a video recording.
Yes.
Instead of him there. Like, I thought that was telling a little bit of how he really is doing. So,
well, and when we've seen him walk up to the pulpit in the past, he's shuffling. He's not spry. He's moving gently.
Slowly, for sure. Slowly. He dedicated our Red Cliffs Temple just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right.
And he sat for the whole thing. Okay. At least that's what it appeared on the screen in the chapel. He didn't move. He sat and they moved the camera. So, but it was beautiful still. So, you know.
Anyway. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for the Saturday morning session. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully I can get you back on Taffy. I've got a number of fun guests lined up on Taffy, but when I can rotate you back in, girlfriend, I am rotating you back in.
You let me in? No, I'm all in whenever you need me.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks, Sarah. Bye. TWIM listeners, join us all weekend long for these quick conference wrap-ups, and we appreciate your support.